Nick DiGilio here. Yeah, we are live in the Allstate Studios on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower here until 5 a.m., and then we'll get to hang out with Steve Cochran and the morning show. Our phone number is 312-981-7200, and you can send your texts to that number as well, 312-981-7200. Check us out on Twitter. But the best way to stay connected is Facebook. So go to facebook.com/NickDShow and like us. Our friend Eric Childress, who reviews movies with me and Colin Suter every Saturday evening here on WGN, goes to all the film festivals and gives us reports. Currently, one of the biggest film festivals annually is the Toronto Film Festival. And Eric is live from the Toronto Film Festival to give us a full report on the movies that he's seen thus far. And we welcome Eric to the show. Hi, Eric.
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm okay.
All right. So how long have you been in Toronto?
Since Thursday afternoon.
Thursday afternoon. Okay.
Yeah.
And in that time, we got a weird connection, don't we? I think we're going to have you call back, Eric, okay?
Oh, wait. Hold on one second. Hold on. Let me try something.
Okay. Because we're getting a weird echo. We got something?
Hold on.
Okay. Live radio, ladies and gentlemen.
How's that?
No, that sounds better. What was going on? Were you on a walkie-talkie or what?
No, I've moved away from the heater fan here.
Oh, okay.
I'm right next to the thermostat thing, so maybe that's what's causing the delay or something. I don't know.
It seems like it's okay.
A small room.
We'll see how it works from now. So, how many movies have you seen since Thursday?
Since Thursday afternoon, I have seen 21 movies. Yeah. Yesterday alone, I saw 8.
You're out of your mind, man.
I know. I know.
Wow. Okay. And how long are you going to be there?
Through Thursday morning. Thursday afternoon, actually.
Jeez.
So I'll even see a couple movies on Thursday before I leave.
Wow, man. Okay. All right. Well, just in general, how's the fest been?
Not bad. It started off on a really high note. I hit four movies that I liked right in a row, and then the world started to correct itself. Started to come into balance, and I think we're sort of kind of even right now with good and bad.
Okay. All right. Well, let's see. Now, it's Paul Thomas Anderson's movie is not playing there, right?
No, that's not here. Neither is David Fincher's Gone Girl.
Okay.
Or Birdman. Birdman is not here, unfortunately.
Yeah. God, I can't wait to see that movie.
I know.
Man.
I know.
All right. Well, let's talk about some stuff, man. Let's get to it. You saw 21 movies. Let's hear it, man. What do you want to talk about first?
Well, let's talk about some movies that are coming out that people will get a chance to see fairly soon.
All right.
Start with a good one, Nightcrawler with Jake Gyllenhaal.
Great trailer.
And it's directed by, I don't know how many Gilroys there actually are. but this was directed by Dan Gilroy.
Now, is he related?
Produced by, I think so.
Yeah.
It's produced by Tony Gilroy, and there's another Gilroy that edited the movie and something like that. There are a lot of Gilroys associated with this movie.
Yeah.
And I can't keep them straight. I got to be honest with you. I don't know. I don't think Tony Gilroy, that's your Michael Clayton.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what Dan Gilroy has done, but he's done Nightcrawler, and what it stars Jake Gyllenhaal as kind of, not really a scam artist, but someone who's, he's clearly read a lot of self-help books and he's, really looking to advance himself in some sort of career. He just doesn't know what career that is. And it turns out one night he's crawling, through the night in his car and he comes across a crime scene and a paparazzi van pulls up led by Bill Paxton, basically sees that this is a profession that people show up with cameras and, they're the crime scenes and whatnot, and they sell them to the news stations. So that's what he does. He gets himself a little video camera and, in his car and a police scanner and starts, going through the streets and really building himself up in this night crawler scene, as they call it, to an extent that he basically becomes like the top guy in the city, even to a dangerous extent. As crime stories go, it's a very unique one. We haven't seen one quite done like this before, done in, you know, all the sort of the great style of like a Michael Mann and, you know, like To Live and Die in L.A. It sort of has those films feel to it. And Jake Gyllenhaal is just tremendous in this movie. I think it's one of his best performances.
Cool.
It's really suspenseful. It's really well written. It's all around really good crime story, and that's going to open in October.
All right, cool. By the way, Dan Gilroy, this is his first movie as a director, but he did write Free Jack.
Really?
Yeah. He wrote Free Jack.
I would not have been on my list.
Chasers, that movie with Erica Laniak and Dennis Hopper directed. Two for the Money, he wrote.
Okay.
Real Steel, he has got a story credit for that, and he wrote The Bourne Legacy.
Oh, okay. Tony Gilroy has something to do with Bourne Legacy, did he not?
I you know what? I don't know.
I think Tony Gilroy, he wrote the other Bourne movies.
Tony Gilroy directed The Bourne Legacy and co-wrote it with...
He did direct it.
Yeah, he did the one with Renner. That's
okay.
The one with Renner.
Okay.
So there you go. Those are some of...
Well, it's a hell of a start. It's a really good film.
Really cool. Okay, what's next?
A film that's opening actually next week, another crime drama called The Drop. Probably most notable as sort of one of the last films that James Gandolfini co-starred in. It stars Tom Hardy and Gandolfini as got a couple of guys who own a bar in Brooklyn. And it's known for basically a money drop. You know, all criminals and gangsters drop off their money there, so it makes it easier for them to be laundered and picked up by their people. And one night, the bar gets robbed, setting into a number of chain of events. And how, you know, who robbed the bar? How are these guys going to pay back the criminals that are in, you know, basically own the bar? All these sort of various circumstances, including some guy who keeps following around Tom Hardy because he thinks he took his dog. this is a very convoluted kind of drama. It's a film that seems to, you know, it wants to have that sort of that the flavor of like The Town, mm-hmm. or something like that, sort of a, you know, sort of a gritty, you know, personal kind of crime drama. And Tom Hardy, you know, the guy is always watchable, and you know, he sort of kind of dials it down to an extent where you're not quite sure where his character is coming from. And Gandolfini, you know, again, you know, please.
Yeah.
But the film itself, it's so plot heavy and trying to you know, throw all these strands together and all these seemingly random things that don't seem to have any connection with one thing or another, and yet everything is going to be connected by the end of the movie, and that just, it feels too forced, and everything sort of leading up to sort of like one big shock in the film. The film just never really comes together into anything more than some sort of generic thing, but you know, Tom Hardy, very watchable, but the film, not so much.
Okay. All right. That's called The Drop, and that opens Friday.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. What's next?
Okay. Why don't we sort of shift into horror a little bit?
All right.
And this is a film that actually premiered at Sundance, and it's kind of a, you know, it's kind of a comedy horror movie, and it's called The Voices, and it stars Ryan Reynolds as a sort of a shy guy in a small town. Who has a crush on the girl at the work, played by Gemma Arterton. And Anna Kendrick is also in the film as the girl who has a crush on him. And he's a very shy guy, which is, you know, abnormal for a Ryan Reynolds type performance, especially when all the girls think he's the hottest guy ever. Really dialing down here to play a character who talks to his pets. Basically because his pets talk to him. He hears voices. He's got some mental issues. As these pets talk to him, well, it leads him to possibly do some things that his psychiatrist would rather not have him doing, nor the police. this is, again, like I said, this is a film that's it's more of a comic horror movie. It's probably more of a comedy than anything else. But at the same time, Ryan Reynolds is actually really good in the film to the point that there's actually sort of an underlying sadness to this film. The movie sort of like treats the subject matter with, you know, the kind of sensitivity that it should deserve. Even though there's these really crazy things going on, there's a talking dog and a talking cat who sounds like Craig Ferguson. but it's a film that I really liked, and it follows it through all the way through its unbelievably oddball final credits, which I wouldn't even dare spoiling for you. But the voices.
Okay, the woman, by the way, who directed this directed Persepolis.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. I'm in.
Yeah, this is good stuff.
That's great, man. You got to love the Anna Kendrick. Anytime she's in a movie, it's automatically, I got to see it.
No kidding. And she's got another one here that I'm seeing later in the week called The Last 5 Years. That's actually a musical directed by Richard LeGravenez.
You're kidding.
No.
Oh, that sounds awesome already.
I hear it's good.
Wow.
I've heard it's good.
You know, he did a really nice staging of a musical scene in Living Out Loud, which is a movie that I absolutely love.
Well, certainly.
It's the scene where everybody starts, they're in the club, and
and that
was a really beautiful musical number. That's like right in the middle of the movie. So,
so we'll see how he does with the full movie.
All right, cool. Okay, we got another one?
Yeah, another horror movie for you called It Follows.
It Follows. All right.
Yeah, and stars Micah Monroe, who is one of the girls in the Bling Ring, and she plays a girl who is going out with a guy in town, and they have the intercourse, and then he drugs her and ties her up, and the next thing you know, he's given her very specific advice that he has just passed something along to her. No, not an STD, but something has been following him. Doesn't know what it is. Just all she tells her is that don't let it touch you. It's going to follow you. It isn't going to take any form, people that you know, but it's going to follow you until you pass it along to somebody else.
Oh, man.
And that's pretty much the movie. So she's got these things following her around the neighborhood, just charging at her, basically, walking, but, going right after her. And until she has sex with someone, they're going to continue to follow her.
It
could be a really stupid premise or a film that really sort of takes a very interesting psychological step towards not just sort of STDs in a way, but just teen sexuality in general.
Yeah.
And it takes that route. Okay. It takes that route. It doesn't always work at times, and it certainly does play up its level of horror. It has one of the best final swimming pool sequences since Let the Right One In.
Mm-hmm.
It's a film that, even watching it, and there's some great, horror stuff in it, but by the end, you just, as it fades out, you start thinking about it more and more when you leave the theater. So it gives you the scares, it delivers the shocks, but it really gives you something much more than that.
Okay.
Called It Follows.
It Follows. All right, cool. Eric, hang on, all right?
Yeah.
All right, we got to take a break. Eric Childress is with us, and we're running down some movies that you'll be able to see at some point that he's seeing in Toronto. We saw 21 movies since Thursday. He's nuts. So we'll talk more and get more reviews from Eric live from Toronto. Nick DiGilio here. Hi. How's everybody doing? It's a Monday morning, and that means my dad tells a joke. It's a jokey, jokey, jokey time. That's coming up at the 4:45-ish break. We'll also talk about box office for the weekend as well. And we're talking movies right now. Phone number is 312-981-7200. Check us out at facebook.com/NickDShow. Like us, and everything is linked up there. Eric Childress, our old buddy, who reviews movies for us on Saturdays, also does the festival circuit and gives us reports from film festivals all over the place. He's in Toronto right now, currently, and giving us a report from Toronto about some of the movies he's seen there. Eric, welcome back, man.
Thank you.
All right, what else do we got? Let's hear another movie.
Okay, let's stick with horror.
Okay.
Because I've seen quite a bit. Kevin Smith premiered his new film.
Oh, Tusk.
Here. Tusk, yes. Yeah. And people who don't know the premise, it's pretty simple. Justin Long plays a podcaster who goes to Canada to get an interview. He winds up at the house of Michael Parks, who says he's had some really great stories of the sea and of World War II. And they get to talking, and next thing you know, Justin Long's character is being drugged and his body being worked on for the process of being transformed into a walrus.
So this is Kevin Smith.
This is Kevin Smith, and this is Kevin Smith really on the pot. I mean, that premise alone, you just kind of want to let it sit there for a little while. Just soak that in. It sounds like Human Centipede. It sounds like, you know, Kevin Smith is a director that I've been supportive of even through some of his bad patches and, his battles with critics and whatnot. I was a supporter of Red State. I thought that was
Red State was great. I love Red State.
Yeah.
And Michael Parks was phenomenal in Red State, by the way.
Terrific in that.
Yeah.
This feels like Kevin Smith went on a pot bender and never just got off. Because the premise alone is really crazy and nutty. But people are sort of like, you know, saying that, but the movie never really follows through completely on just how nutty it is. Because yes, all these things happen in the movie, but then you get to, you know, to like when all the stuff happens and the makeup effects are kind of shoddy.
Yeah.
So you never quite really believe anything is happening. And then the movie really, it still wants to be a comedy while being a horror movie at the same time. And I don't know how many details are out there about a guest appearance in this film. Have you heard anything about a guest appearance in this film?
No.
I'm not going to tell you who it is.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe it's on IMDb. If it is, don't look.
Okay.
But you want to talk about a cameo appearance stopping a movie dead in its tracks.
Okay.
And I'm not saying the guy is not funny in the movie at times, but the movie takes such a turn and wants to focus on this guy being on screen for so long that you almost forget about all the nuttiness that's happening back at the Walrus camp.
Okay.
Okay. Because
this whole thing just sounds insane to me.
It is insane, but not in a great way. It's okay. Like the movie, it does never translate into sort of a fun kind of thing. I don't want to spoil too much about how Justin Long becomes the Walrus and all this kind of stuff. But it's just really not a very good movie at all.
All right, Tusk, Kevin Smith's latest. I saw the trailer for it, and I couldn't make heads or tails out of it when I saw the trailer. So just very strange stuff.
But the trailer's better than the movie.
Okay, what's next?
Okay, next is a film called Spring.
Spring, okay.
And Spring stars Lou Taylor-Pucci. He's been in many independent films. Most recently, he was in the Evil Dead remake last year. And he stars as an American who his mom passes away. He sort of gets the advice to sort of, you know, maybe take a new direction. So he decides to travel to Italy. And he goes to Italy and he just starts looking at the site. And he meets this girl. And this girl is very mysterious. The girl, you know, almost tries to get him back to his, you know, her place on, you know, their first meeting. But he's, you know, a little bit more of a romantic, more of a sensitive guy and tries to just get her to date him. And eventually they start hooking up and going out, and it's sort of playing like Before Sunrise, except she's a monster.
Okay.
Yeah. Not a traditional woman sense, but it's an actual genuine monster. Or is she? The thing is that it's a really hard movie to describe when I'm describing her as a monster, because it's never quite clear whether or not she's actually evil or good or afflicted or that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. All I can say is that this might be the best monster romance since David Cronenberg's The Fly.
Whoa, man. Now, come on, man.
I know what I didn't say it was better.
Right.
Can you think of a monster romance since The Fly? A genuinely true heartbreaking type romance film that just happens to also be a monster movie.
No, I can't. All right, hold on. Hey, you know what? You got to hang on, Eric. We got to take a break.
Okay.
But we'll come back and finish up talking about this movie. It's called Spring. And we got more from the Toronto Film Festival with Eric coming up after this break. Yeah. Nick DiGilio here. We are live in the Allstate Studios on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower here till 5 a.m. And then we get to hang out for hour one of the Steve Cochran Show. And my dad will be joining us. It's Monday morning. That means it's a jokey, jokey, jokey time. My dad's going to tell a joke. That's coming up a little bit later. Right now, we're talking with Eric Childress, who is reporting from the Toronto Film Festival live and giving us a report on a bunch of movies. The last one that you were talking about, there's a movie called Spring, which is a monster romance and the best of its kind since Cronenberg's The Fly, which is really high praise.
It is. This movie...
I was just going to say, any word on whether it's getting picked up?
It was the premiere here, at the festival. It doesn't have distribution yet. I haven't heard any word yet, but I know I am going to be pimping for this film like there's no tomorrow. Because this movie took me completely by surprise. Because what you have here is basically two filmmakers who clearly set out to actually craft a genuine romantic love story. You know, they just happen to put a monster in it. And not just, you know, where Kevin Smith's like, oh, I've never seen an old guy turn into a walrus on screen. Let's do that. You know, they took their time. They crafted this romance where the romance stuff is totally believable from the first moment they meet to the last frame. And then they created this monster, whatever she is. And there's no real name for it. They joke around with that a little bit.
Yeah.
But they crafted something completely unique, completely original, something I've never seen on screen before, and I bought it hook, line, and sinker. This is my favorite movie of the festival so far.
Wow, man. Okay. All right, cool.
Yeah. I know I'm probably dooming it to fail by comparing it to The Fly, but aside from My Demon Lover, I can't think of another film, a monster romance, since then.
All right. My Demon Lover. Okay. Well, what do I think? What about next? What's next?
Kristen Wiig has got a new movie.
Oh, good.
Called Welcome to Me. And in the film, she stars as a woman with who's bipolar, who at the beginning of the film wins an $86 million jackpot. Now, with her disorder, she's completely hooked on Oprah and self-help tapes and all these kind of things. And she wants nothing more than to be on television. So she convinces sort of a local sort of public, you know, home shopping network to put her on television that's run by James Marsden and Joan Cusack and Wes Bentley. Next thing you know, she's basically buying her way onto television and with obviously very little experience and, you know, starts capturing, you know, people's attention with her weird antics on screen. And this is a movie very much of two halves. The first half of the movie, the setup, Kristen Wiig playing this character, and she seemingly played like bipolar characters all through her career in one version of another.
Yeah.
And she's really funny here. And then as the second half takes that turn and wants to sort of take the illness seriously, that's when the movie really starts to falter, because now you realize you've sort of been laughing at this character with, a real world disorder. And on top of that, the movie doesn't really, you know, care to really deal with the consequences of what she's doing and, how people would really respond to a woman like this on television. It just avoids it pretty much at all costs. And it's really kind of sad to see Jennifer Jason Leigh in almost a nothing role as one of the workers at the television station, who's basically the one person who's saying we shouldn't put this person on television, and then, you know, quits.
Hmm. Okay.
Jennifer Jason Leigh. So it's a mixed bag. It's funny. Kristen Wiig is, you know, obviously really good in it, doing her first nude scene.
Oh, actually, really?
Okay. In the movie. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Yeah, from the front.
Nice.
Yeah, but the movie itself can't quite recommend it. It's really a mixed bag.
It's directed by Shira Piven, who is Jeremy's sister, and has worked
produced
with
by Will Ferrell and McKay.
Oh, it is, it's got some of the regulars there. Tim Robbins, Joan Cusack are in it, and they're all friends and all that. Okay, so that's called Welcome to Me. Is that going to get released or?
I'm sure it's probably going to get released with that cast and, you know, Kristen Wiig's, you know, star power. I'm sure someone's going to pick it up at some point. I mean, Girl most likely got released. I'm sure this will.
Yeah. Now, does that movie with Bill Hader, does that come out in Chicago Friday?
Yes, it does.
The Skeleton Twins.
Yeah, you haven't seen it yet?
No, I can't wait. I can't wait to
Terrific.
See it. Yeah, I can't
so
wait
good.
To see it.
Yeah.
All right, what else? What else we got?
Well, we got our buddy Bill Murray has got a big
oh,
movie.
Oh, is it St. Vincent? St. Vincent?
St. Vincent.
Oh, man, I can't wait
yes.
to see this.
Yeah. Again, this is a first-time director, Theodore Melfi, I believe his name is. If you've seen the trailer, Bill Murray plays the sort of the grumpy grump,
yep.
Who is going to be taken in by his new neighbors, played by Melissa McCarthy. And I don't have the kid's name in front of me, but the kid that plays the young boy who moves in next door and befriends Bill Murray's character is really quite good in this movie. It's a really great performance by this kid, Jaden something.
Jaden Lieberher.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. He's really terrific in this movie. And it's just, sort of an old school tale of, the grump who is, there's a little bit more going on to him than just, the booze and the gambling and the smoking and all that kind of stuff. And this kid, helps to sort of bring it out of him. The movie itself, it works. For what it is, it works. And I will admit that the ending did get to me a little bit. And Bill Murray, obviously, really good. Everyone's really good in the movie. Melissa McCarthy, dials it down, less than she's been doing lately.
Yeah.
And Naomi Watts is a Russian stripper prostitute is pretty funny in the movie. but when I left the movie, I kept thinking something was gnawing at me that I had seen a better version of this movie recently, and that movie was Nebraska.
Mm.
Because there's really a comparison between the Bruce Dern and the Bill Murray character and how Bruce Dern seemingly was just a grump, but then you start to find out that he's actually done a lot of really good things in his life.
Yeah, yeah.
And just not gotten the recognition for it. That's kind of what Bill Murray's character is in the movie.
Mm.
Maybe not the greatest, the fairest comparison to Nebraska quality-wise. I still recommend the movie. Some people are touting Murray as a possible Oscar candidate. I think that the field might be a little too crowded for that. But he did get a standing ovation here at Toronto at the premiere, where it was actually the culmination of Bill Murray Day.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they had an entire run at the Toronto the Bell Lightbox where they're showing his movies all day, including a reunion of everyone from Ghostbusters.
Wow.
Yeah.
Holy cow. Wow, that's,
yeah,
that's
so they showed Stripes and Ghostbusters and Groundhog Day. Ivan Reitman was there, obviously. And then the 9 o'clock screening of St. Vincent was the culmination and huge standing ovation for the man.
Wow, that's amazing. That's cool.
Yeah.
Very, very cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right, what's next?
What is next? I'm going down the list here. Another horror movie
okay.
for you. Good Night, Mommy. Good Night, Mommy.
Okay.
I'm getting this confused. It's not a Finnish film, I don't think. I think it's an Austrian film, actually. It's about these two twin boys, about 10, 11 years old, whose mom comes back from the hospital, and she looks like she's had a lot of surgery. She's got bandages all over her face and whatnot. And something is quite off. The boy's just not noticing something's wrong with mom, that she's not the nice mom that they remember. She's a little bit cross. She's, a little bit more standoffish. And the boys are to become convinced that their mom has been replaced somehow.
Okay.
And they have a lot of theories about what might have happened to their mom, and there's dreams and stuff like that. And it leads to them taking really drastic measures, extreme drastic measures to prove that this is not their mom.
Okay.
And I would dream of telling what these kids put their mom through in this movie, but this movie is really twisted. It's funny. It's gross. It's really a very interesting find if you're interested in, horror movies of this type. Really, really sort of twisted domestic strife.
Okay.
I should say it's called Good Night, Mommy.
Okay. Good Night, Mommy.
Yeah.
All right. And all right, we got time for a couple more here.
Okay. Let me give you a quick lesson in perspective in choosing a movie here at Toronto.
Okay.
Okay. If I told you that you had a chance to see a movie about a young Finnish boy who is set off on his 13th birthday to sort of go out in the wilderness and snag like a big game for his family. It was sort of his rite of passage. And along this journey, he comes across the President of the United States, played by Samuel L. Jackson, who is being hunted by terrorists.
Okay.
And has to get the president out alive. Do you want to see that movie?
No, I don't think so.
Right. Now, if I told you it was from the director of Rare Exports, A Christmas Tale.
Oh, well then, yes.
Yes, you want to see that movie.
Yeah.
That's exactly how I felt. Then I saw the movie.
That's not good.
It's a real disappointment.
What's it called? It's
a movie. It's called Big Game.
Okay.
Big Game. Had a big response at the midnight showing the night before, and then I went got a chance to see it yesterday, really expecting. I mean, it's nutty. You know, it's the kind of movie you expect from Rare Exports, and even some of the big payoff shots seem to be almost lifted directly from Rare Exports. I remember the kid flying around on the helicopter at the end of that movie.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a few payoffs in the movie that are just like that. I'm like, you did this already. You okay?
Yeah.
It's a movie that just never. It takes like an hour to get going, and it's only 85 minutes long. And you're expecting this to be the kid and Samuel Jackson as sort of like an edge or some sort of wilderness survival tale, and it never quite gets there.
Yeah.
And then it's over.
And then it's over.
So real, real disappointment.
And that's too bad. All right. Well, you're going to be there for a few more days, and you'll give us another report at some point. Okay, Eric?
Absolutely.
Have fun while you're there, man.
I'm going to try.
All right. We'll see you later. There you go. Eric Childress live from Toronto at the film festival reporting on many of the 21 movies that he's seen since Thursday. 8 in one day. He's nuts.